In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Doubt. It plagues all of us, and when it comes to faith in Jesus, doubt comes as that tiny little voice that seems to whisper in our ear, is this really true? Did Jesus really come and live among us and die for us? Was Jesus really God? Did Jesus really rise from the grave? Did Jesus really die for me? Or as the tempter himself puts it, did God really say? Doubt. It is the fruit of unbelief. It stems from our failure to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Doubt is what happens when we think we need more control over our lives than we feel we already have. And doubt can create feelings of fear and hopelessness as though our lives are slowly spinning out of control. Doubt-induced feelings of fear and hopelessness surely permeated that little locked room where the disciples had hidden themselves away that first Easter Sunday evening. They had heard the reports of the women. John and Peter even ran to the tomb to see things for themselves. Two of Jesus' disciples had even rushed back on foot from Emmaus in the dark, a trip of about 7 miles, to share the news that they had seen the Lord. But 10 of Jesus' closest disciples could not believe the reports. And so they hid themselves for fear of the Romans and the Jews. They had seen the cruelty and viciousness meted out to Jesus just 3 days before, and they wanted no part of it. The disciples feared for their lives, and I am sure that they thought that they would be the next to be crucified if ever they were found. Then, in the midst of these doubting disciples, suddenly, here is Jesus standing among them, and he speaks to them the sweet words of absolution. Peace be with you. Jesus doesn't break down the door. He doesn't have to. The one who burst forth from the tomb has no need to break down locked doors. When the disciples see them, they can't believe their eyes. And they are still fearful, no doubt, but the text tells us that they become glad. For Jesus shows them his wounds, and he breaks down their doors of doubt and unbelief. And again, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. And his words give what they say, peace. His peace comes in the midst of turmoil, unrest, fear, and hopelessness, and doubt. His peace restores their faith, for it assures them that they have been reconciled to God. For Jesus, the Lamb of peace, has conquered death by dying and now comes in peace to bring life to them and to the whole world. But still, there is Thomas, or Doubting Thomas, as we have come to know him. He was missing that night and missed the chance to see Jesus. Not seeing Jesus, he refused to believe. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. St. Thomas must have thought, this story must be some sort of cruel joke. How can the dead raise themselves from the grave? Do you really expect me to believe this silly nonsense? Show me proof, and then only will I believe. Isn't that the reaction of the world, too? Thomas sounds a lot like the so-called scholars we constantly see on those TV Jesus Easter specials, which claim to be historically based. When the church celebrates the resurrection of our Lord, you can count on the naysayers to come out of the woodwork like cockroaches when one turns out the light. Pick up nearly any news magazine in the weeks leading up to Easter, and you will read story after story casting doubt on the faith of the church. This year, it was supposed to be the big one, with the Jesus family tomb. How much have you heard about that since then? These so-called scholars call into question the truthfulness of the Bible, and many deny that Jesus ever really lived, never mind rising from the dead. Book upon book searches for the real historical Jesus and claims that if Jesus really lived at all, His bodily resurrection after His brutal death is nothing but a misunderstanding of the truth by unsophisticated peasants. That He only spiritually or figuratively rose from the grave. That in truth, the story about Jesus' birth, life, and death, and resurrection is nothing more than a wonderful story only meant to illustrate some higher truth or meaning in life. And the really sad part about all of this is that many of the so-called scholars who write these lies and appear on these programs call themselves Christian. To be honest, though, and just as sad, St. Thomas often sounds a lot like us, too. We want proof. Seeing is believing is a term one often hears. We are natural-born skeptics. We look for signs that God is real, that He is truly with us. We judge our relationship with God by what we feel, not by what His Word tells us. The pastor will tell us what God has said and promised, and then we will tell the pastor what we really believe. I have heard it more than once. I have never read the Bible, Pastor, but I know what I believe. Never mind what the Bible says, Pastor. That's just what I believe. That's the condensed version of this frustrating and irritating phrase. That's just what I believe. And then there's this one, the granddaddy of them all. I don't believe I have to come to church to be a Christian, Pastor. After all, I believe in God. Really? Do you know that Satan and his demons believe in God too? Do you not know that Satan and his demons believe Jesus is the Son of God too? That is why they hate Him and had a hand in Him in murdering Him. And that is why they also fear Him. All attempts to base one's belief upon one's own personal feelings instead of upon the Word of God alone are satanic. Period. Repent, therefore, and hear the good news of your salvation. You see, this Jesus has come to crush the head of the serpent. To be sure, the serpent got in his licks and bruised Jesus' heel with the pain of crucifixion. But Jesus has crushed that old evil foe and ground him to powder. Yes, Jesus did die, and it is true that no man has ever climbed up out of his grave on his own. But Jesus is not only true man, He is true God. This same Jesus, who is true man and true God, who came to that pathetic little room, comes again 8 days later and appears to His disciples, and this time Thomas is there. Now Jesus fulfills Thomas' requirement to believe. Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side, Thomas. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And with that, St. Thomas repents of his unbelief. My Lord and my God, he proclaims. Then Jesus imparts more teaching to Thomas and to us. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus is telling Thomas and us that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. He is telling us that our axiom should not be seeing is believing in His kingdom, but hearing is believing. Hearing. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing, not seeing, is believing in Christ's kingdom. Faith comes from hearing the gospel of Christ. And the gospel is heard as it is preached, taught, and delivered through the sacraments by called ministers who stand in the stead and by the command of their Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it works in Christ's kingdom. Hearing is believing. Hearing the gospel through the word of Christ and his apostles as it is delivered to us through the sacred scriptures. And unlike the word of sinful people in the world, the word of Christ and his apostles, which we encounter in scripture, is completely trustworthy and true. It is for this reason that our resurrected Lord appeared to his disciples. He comes not only to absolve them, but also to ordain them into the office of the holy ministry, to send them out to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments, that many will hear them and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, they may have life in his name. So it is with us, dear friends in Christ. Like St. Thomas, the word of God spoke from Jesus' lips through his called and ordained servants calls us to repentance and faith. We do not physically see Jesus among us with the eyes of flesh, yet we do see him with our eyes of faith. For we have heard the gospel and have been given the faith to believe it. The same resurrected Jesus is no less present for us than he was for his disciples locked away in that little room. He is here in this little room, standing in our midst. He announces his presence among us through the mouth of the pastor by declaring, "Peace be with you." In just a few moments, you will hear this sung in the liturgy, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And then the risen Jesus will invite you to touch his hands and his side in the Holy Eucharist. There you will feel the nail marks in his hands, for with his own hands, Christ himself gives us his true body, imprinted with the nails, the marks made by the nails, the marks of our salvation. And we reach out our hand and put it into his side, for what was it that flowed from Jesus' side but his precious blood? Therefore, dear friends in Christ, when you come to the table and you have the host put on your tongue or in your hand, you are truly touching the flesh of Christ. And when the cup is put to your lips and you receive his life-giving blood, you are truly putting your hand in his side. So it is that here at the altar we repent with St. Thomas and declare it renewed with renewed faith, "My Lord and my God." And here at the altar we receive his same life-giving absolution, "Peace be with you." And his word gives what it says, peace, true peace, genuine peace. The only peace that matters. We too know him by his scars, and we too are healed by them. By the grace of God, dear friends, here at peace, there isn't a first day of the week that Jesus doesn't come to you, his disciples. Every Sunday is an Easter, and every day is a first day of the week, a new creation, when the crucified and risen Lord is present with his disciples, with his words and his wounds, his breath and his spirit. Truly blessed are you who have not seen, but have believed. You have peace from the Prince of Peace, which assures you that you are forgiven of all your sins. In his holy and precious name, amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.